Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is consciousness, part four. And all of the dialogue that you'll hear on this show, all of it emanates from the works of Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and Lucis Trust sponsors this show. And all of the dialogue, everything that you hear, really emanates from her 24 volumes of literature, as does this thought that we have here. What must be grasped is that all that is ever-present. And so many people say that all we really have is the ever-present now, but this seems to contradict that. I'd like to hear Sarah's point of view on the meaning of that thought.
Well, the idea that the ever-present now is all there is refers to the concept of time, but we're told in the writings of Alice Bailey that time and space are both constructs of the brain, mm-hmm. and that if we didn't have to work through a brain, if we were able to exist on the level of pure consciousness where we wouldn't be impeded by time and space, we would realize that all is ever-present. We simply, and I'm putting that in quotes, we simply have to develop eyes to see it. That one of the earlier programs on this subject, I mentioned that wonderful quotation by Blake, who said that if the doors of perception were cleansed, we would see everything as it is, infinite. And I think that's another way of expressing this thought, that all that is ever-present, but we don't see it because we're limited. We have blinders on, in a sense, which are created by our own assumptions, our own limitations, our own prejudices and self-focus. Everything that keeps us from really opening up to the world and keeps us from identifying with the whole of life and focused on our own little narrow, tiny world is what impedes our realization of the wholeness and the perfection of life as it is now.
And also, you know, just in keeping with what you're saying, too, and it may sound very difficult for people to comprehend it, but when I think of the time that I was on an airplane, one of these propeller airplanes that was leaving for Puerto Rico and about to go to St. Thomas, I was looking and looking out the window, and I was sitting in a seat where I was being blocked by the propeller, and I couldn't see anything. And then all of a sudden, the engine started in the plane, and the plane started to rev up, and I looked out, and the propeller was going a million miles an hour, and all of a sudden, it was though I didn't see the propeller, but I saw everything that was beyond the propeller. I was able to see what was there, and mm-hmm. perhaps that's similar to what you're saying, Sarah. So they're not really geared mentally or with our psychodynamics. We're not really wired that way to see certain things, but when something changes, when there's some sort of a paradigm shift, maybe everything opens up to us.
I think so. They've done experiments with eyesight to show that as people go through an expanded awareness of their environment or they go through a profound awakening, often due to trauma or shock or wartime or whatever, that they are able to see in a new way. And mm-hmm. it's They have the same eyes they did before. It's not that their vision changes, but something has gotten out of the way. Some veil has withdrawn, and they're able to see a bit further than they did before. It's stage by stage. Illumination doesn't come overnight and totally. It's incremental. Mm-hmm. And that's what the spiritual path does. It's a process of opening up a longer and longer range view of reality.
And when we're on that path, I guess the premise is that we reach new levels of consciousness. And since we're speaking about consciousness, does consciousness originate in the brain? And are the brain and the mind, are they the same?
No and no. A lot of people today...
Well, clear as that up.
The hard part is trying to explain why I said no. A lot of people today seem to equate the mind with the brain, but the brain, as I understand it, is just the physical mechanism that enables the mind, which is consciousness, which is of the soul, which is non-physical, to register its impressions and recognitions in a way that the human being living in a physical body can grasp them and give expression to them. How would you respond?
Well, it's described in the Bailey writings that the mind is like an ovoid. Yeah, kind of a body. In fact, they refer to it as the mental body, the mind principle, that surrounds the person and interpenetrates the brain, so that there is this subtle realm of consciousness that really isn't the brain, but it works through the brain, and the brain is necessary to make contact with the soul and consciousness to make contact with the physical world. So there is a great distinction there between the brain and the mind. It's easy to confuse the two as being one because, you know, in scientific investigations and psychological investigations, they do get brainwave readings and that sort of thing. So it seems that all of this is originating in the mind, in the brain. But it's, as far as I understand it, it is really the mind's reaction with the brain cells that is causing this instruments to register.
Wouldn't a parallel be the computer? Which in which the knowledge that you have put into it resides, but the computer is not the the holder of the knowledge, not the creator of the knowledge, and not the originator of the knowledge. It's just a means by which that knowledge becomes grounded in words. And in a way, it strikes me that maybe the brain works the same way.
Yeah, I guess you could say the computer is like the brain, and the mind is the person, the operator that operates it. So it is, you know, a difficult concept, perhaps for particularly those in the scientific community that have worked with the brain and, you know, the psychological effects of consciousness, and so. They are tendency to be at the of the opinion that the brain and the mind are one and the same, but I think they're not.
To me, the most advanced human being, and this is my own personal opinion, but the most advanced human being to me is one who feels love in his heart, demonstrates love, has an attitude of goodwill towards his fellow man. And I would like to think that mankind will evolve to what I think is that higher state of consciousness. But a lot of changes would have to take place for man to get to that point, I think. And what are some of the subtle ways that affect a change in human consciousness? It seems so impossible to happen, but can it happen?
It's happening all the time. Our consciousness is expanding all the time. And we can look back on, say, the past century and say that humanity's consciousness has made an incredible expansion. It's just that we may think It should be like the cartoon where the light bulb comes on over the head of Dagwood when he got a bright idea. It doesn't really work like that. It's more subtle and more slow in its progression, at least when you speak of the evolutionary expansion of consciousness, which means through life experience, through relationships, through suffering and achievement. That's the normal way that consciousness expands. But it can also be forced, in a sense, through spiritual practices. Some of these are safe and some of them are not. Spiritually, the consciousness is correlated with the centers that exist in the person's body along the region of the spinal column. Some of our audience may have heard of the word chakra, which is a Sanskrit term. In English, we refer to them as centers, and there are seven centers along the spine and in the head that progressively open with the expansion of consciousness. And they open in response to the expanding of consciousness rather than one taking steps to force the centers open in order to have an expanded consciousness. That's the wrong way to go about it, and it's actually a very dangerous practice to do that. But it's said in the Ageless Wisdom that when the thousand-petaled lotus in the head is open, the consciousness is completely open and universal in its expression, in its registration. This thousand-petaled lotus in the head is something that may sound very strange to people, but it's one of the fundamental concepts of the Ageless Wisdom. And again, I'm speaking about a center in the etheric body, in the energy body, not in the inside the cranium.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you were asking about what subtle changes affect consciousness, and I sometimes think that a lot of changes come about by physical happenings, and like September 11th. I mean, that was a real awakening, I think, of human consciousness. And sometimes natural disasters will have an effect on people, particularly the effects of hurricanes and floods and tornadoes, and it kind of sets them back and makes them kind of think. And I think that perhaps there are subtle messages here being given out in disasters like this. And then I was thinking the other day about a wonderful, really expanding experience about when the When the first spaceships went up to the moon, and we got that wonderful view of the Earth from the moon. I mean, that was a tremendously expanding experience for everybody on Earth, because they could see themselves from two angles, and it really gave you a sense of the whole, the wholeness of the Earth. And I think if really one took that in, then that would be make a tremendous impact on consciousness.
Meditation is another way that you can effect a change in human consciousness. People may think that meditation is done for the relief of stress or for relaxation, but in fact, real meditation is meant to gradually expand the borders of the consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's also a means, interestingly, of radiating certain spiritual energies into human consciousness in general. And this is a tremendous form of group service. Group meditation done to radiate light and love and the will to good into human consciousness is a way to expand consciousness without effecting manipulation of people's consciousness or overcoming their will. It's not that at all. Those who are responsive to these energies will respond. Those who are impervious to them won't be disturbed by the energies of light and love in the least. But it's a powerful means of expanding consciousness, the practice of meditation.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and today we're speaking about consciousness. And we've had four shows on it. This is the fourth. And by the way, we're giving you a gift today. If you like our gift, all you really have to do is give us a phone call on our toll-free number. The gift is a pamphlet, and the title of the pamphlet is The Energy of Light. And more or less in that pamphlet, you'll find the essence of what we're speaking about today. And if you want to know more about this particular subject, consciousness, and perhaps even reaching a higher level of our own consciousness, you might order that book, and we'll send it out to you free of charge. You can give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. And all the work of the Lucis Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We are not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps us to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals, so please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And also, if you want to make more direct contact with the Lucis Trust and its staff, you're welcome to come to our monthly meditation meetings. Please write or call for a meeting schedule. And I guess one of the most commonly asked questions is Lucis Trust a religion? And, of course, you can find out much more about us when you receive our literature. But since that's so frequently asked, the best thing to do is answer it now. No, we're not a religion. We're, for lack of a better word, I guess you can call us a spiritual philosophy organization. And once again, if you would like to order that gift that we'll send you out, the gift is a pamphlet. The title of it is The Energy of Light. Give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. I'd like to think that that consciousness continues to grow, continues to expand, and we continue to develop, and there's no sign out there saying stop, and I just like that idea that we continue to seek and gain self-improvement. Does consciousness, does it extend beyond the human stage, which sounds like a strange question, but if you know my beliefs, then it's not so strange.
Well, in the writings of Alice Bailey, there's this amazing statement that says, everything that lives on Earth has been, is, or will be human at some stage of its evolutionary development. And that includes absolutely everything from the mineral through the vegetable, animal, human, and spiritual kingdoms. So, yes, consciousness evolves, progresses. Each higher kingdom makes an impact on the kingdoms below it using up and down words, which really aren't quite the right words, but language is so limiting. And the human kingdom, in turn, is going to progress into the kingdom of the soul. That's what the spiritual path is meant to effect.
Yes, and we're in the process of moving into that kingdom now, because as the reappearance of the Christ is, that's what his reappearance is designed to help bring about, the founding of this new kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of souls, and that will manifest in a whole new different dimension of consciousness. And it won't necessarily bring through a new species, but perhaps we'll see a more refined human being, a more apt human being, one that's more capable. And because this human mind will be more awake and have more capacity for greater spiritual demonstration. And we know from the writings of in the Alice Bailey books that she speaks a great deal about the masters of the wisdom that we've talked about before, and these are beings who have gone through that human stage and have gone beyond and now exist in this other dimensions. And so if they have done it, then the way is open for every human being to do it also.
Another aspect of the progression of consciousness that I think is very noticeable today is the development of group consciousness. We see more and more the realization that people have to form a part of a larger whole, not only to attain their objectives, but to preserve and protect themselves. I think we realize we can't stand alone. The old ideal of the lone pioneer, I think, is something of the past. And the world in the present day condition, I think, makes it clear that we have to stand together or fall completely. We need each other. People realize this, and they are coming together in groups of all types to work for the betterment of their condition, and sometimes to serve in a very selfless, open-hearted way. So this again is a sign of the progression of consciousness, and it's an indication that humanity, among some of its members at least, is moving into the stage of the consciousness of the soul, which is a higher level than the ordinary human consciousness.
That group consciousness tends to take one away from centered on the self, on the little self, the individual selfish little self that wants only his...
The one that says, me, 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 me.
Right. And the group consciousness enables this self-consciousness to look beyond itself, to reach beyond itself, and to work for some other greater purpose beyond its own little individual purpose. And that, as you say, is the next stage which we're moving into, and it's already manifesting because in a global world that we're moving into, not much can happen by individual effort. It takes a group effort to accomplish so much of the work that goes on at the global level that it's impossible for just one individual to be to do much by himself, I think.
I suppose it is important, though, to point out that consciousness doesn't pertain only to the human kingdom. It exists on all levels of life. It's not the kind of consciousness we are familiar with, but the consciousness, for example, of the vegetable kingdom is progressing in the development of more refined and beautiful species of plants, trees, and so on. And in the animal kingdom, too, it's progressing. And the writings of Alice Bailey say that each kingdom carries the consciousness aspect forward to greater perfection and demonstrates greater sensitivity and responsiveness to the divinity, the divine creator, than did the lower kingdom. So it's an evolutionary progression from mineral to vegetable, animal, and human. All of these kingdoms are expressing the consciousness aspect in their own ways and in absolutely needed and radiant, wonderful ways. What would our world be without the vegetable kingdom, without the beauty of the plants and forests and so on, and without the animals?
Well, what are you saying about humanity evolving to such higher states of consciousness? It's hopeful, it's optimistic, but there's so much cruelty in the world today. Why do things look so discouraging today?
Part of it, I think, has to do with the set of attitudes and experiences each of us brings to our view of the world. We are looking out at the world through our own attitude, in a sense. Our own doors of perception aren't necessarily cleansed. They might be quite fogged in with our own prejudices and sorrows and bitternesses and regrets. So that's one reason that things look grim. Another is that we don't always understand that growth and evolution happen sometimes through pain, and that that can be a necessary spur to the expansion of consciousness.
Yeah, absolutely. The as you say, discouraging is only a matter of perception, and it seems kind of discouraging if one is focused on his own particular life purpose or life circumstances, and which may be kind of painful, going through a lot of pain and strife and struggle and so forth. But behind all of this, there is something much, much greater purpose working out. And I think that's the important thing. We have to look beyond this and to look underneath of what's really happening here, because a lot has to be cleared away, and that's essentially what's happening. And we've mentioned this before. We're going through a transition stage between an old age and a new age, and there is a great tremendous revelations ahead of us that's going to create a more vibrant and beautiful world. I'm sure of that.
Mm-hmm. And then maybe too, it's like two steps, maybe our progress or evolution, maybe it's two steps forward and one step backward, and maybe we see the two steps forwards, but we know the one step backwards, so we get kind of confused. Maybe the way you're explaining it, we are indeed progressing. Are there any more thoughts on this topic today?
Well, no, it's all related back to the opening thought, I think. All that is ever-present, and we're in the process of discovering that. So.
Well, our closing thought, too, can be that, once again, we're giving you a gift. We'll be happy to send it out to you, of course, free of charge. And if you want that gift, give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we'd like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.